We have been making our way for a couple of years now through the book of Romans. We took a break before Advent, and now we return to resume and finish. And we come to, in the providence of God, Romans 13. And I remind you that this is the eternally true and trustworthy, inerrant word of the living God. He speaks to us this morning. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. For he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed to them. Taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, and honor to whom honor is owed. This is the word of the Lord. Pray with me, please. Holy Father, would you direct our hearts and minds now to the truth of your word and to its application in our lives. Cause this seed that is sown in weakness to grow by your power, 30, 60, even 100-fold. Come, Holy Spirit, hear and help in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, there are many verses in the Bible that we don't like, but there are few that we take issue with as much as this one. I mean, let's just go ahead right up front here and admit it. We don't like what this says. We don't like submitting to authority, whether it's government or police or teachers or bosses or husbands or parents or pastors and elders, basically anyone who would dare to correct us or tell us what to do. Well, we just don't like that. Present company included. Okay? And why is this? Because we're Americans. We're individualists. We're independent. I mean, this is how our country started, by rebelling against England, and we haven't stopped since. It's just in our DNA. But it's even worse than that. There's another reason. It's because we're sinners. And it's how we got started. Back in the garden, Adam and Eve rebelled against God and against his word. And we've been sinning that way ever since. Now, let me tell you what you want me to tell you about this text. You want me to tell you all the ways that we don't have to obey this text. You want me to tell you how this doesn't apply to us 21st century Americans. And Paul way back there and then, well, that was altogether something different. You want me to give you a list of the yeah buts and the whatabouts and all of that. Now, I don't know if you noticed, but Paul doesn't give any. Now, it doesn't mean there aren't any, but if we start with the exceptions first, if we start with when we might resist or rebel, we're going to get it all wrong. So we need to start by looking at what it says and why it says it, and lay a clear foundation. Then we might be able to build on that. Now, I also up front here am acknowledging that I'm not naive about my preaching. I'm not going to change your heart or mind. But we should ask God to do that. We should ask God to correct us where we need correction and change us where we need to be changed, and to bring us into a loving, humble submission to His will and to His ways. Now, as we begin, I want you to note the context. Also, I want to keep in mind two things. First of all, Paul wrote this letter to the Christian citizens in the capital of the Roman Empire when that godless, wicked Nero was the emperor. The government was not good. And Paul's not naive about that. He knows about the Hebrews and how they were treated in Egypt. He knows about Jesus and how the Romans crucified him. And Paul himself has been in and out of jail more times than he can count. He knows about bad government. And also keep in mind that this text comes between Romans 12:9 that says, "Let love be genuine and outdo one another in showing honor." And then 13:8, which is the next verse we'll get to next week, about loving each other as a fulfillment of the law. Submission to authority is an expression of Christian love. It's all part of that larger piece of what we are called to do, to love God and to love our neighbor. Love is what should govern our hearts in all of our decisions, in all of our ways, in all of our actions. So, let's dig in. Where does authority come from? Verse 1, there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. All authority, all governmental authority, comes from God. There is no authority except what God has established. Go back to the beginning. God raised up. It's God raised up Pharaoh. God raised up Nebuchadnezzar. God purposely raised up the good and the bad kings all through the history of Israel. God raised up Nero. God raised up Hitler and Putin. God raised up Democrats. God raised up Republicans. God raised up the local dog catcher. God institutes and ordains all authority. Every nation receives from God the form of their government. Now, the Bible doesn't endorse one kind of government over another, whether monarchy or democracy or something else. Every kind of civil government is ordained by God, and it is under His authority. Jesus acknowledged this Himself, and He practiced what we're looking at here. When He stood before Pontius Pilate, and Pontius Pilate said something to the effect, "You know, don't you realize I have authority over you? I can kill you?" And Jesus said, "You have no authority over me at all, unless it has been given to you from above." The bottom line is, people don't create government. It's not by chance, it's not by vote, it's by the providence of God. It is God who raises up, it is God who brings down leaders, nations, as He pleases and for His good pleasure. And guess what? Every single authority that God has ever raised up was a sinner. Even the very best of them, sinners to the core. God is sovereign over good leaders and bad leaders, even the most wicked. None of them do anything apart from the will of God. And one day, you can have confidence in this, you can be assured of this, you don't need to worry about this. One day, they will all give an account to God for how they used their authority. That is all in God's hands. Now, why do we submit to authorities? Paul gives this command, and with it, he gives reasons and consequences. So all governmental authority comes from God, so all Christians are to live in subjection to it. And because all governmental authority comes from God, to resist it is to resist God. All human-to-human submission is an expression of a believer's submission to God. It's an expression of following Jesus, who Himself submitted. submitted himself to the Father and even to human authority. Now, this word subject or subjection or to submit, it's just simply speaking of an act of the will to give ourselves over to those who are in authority. It's not absolute. It's not blind obedience. There are limits. We'll get to that, but we're not going there right now. Submission is the path to a rightly ordered society. And whether that's true of a nation or a city or a business or a school or a church or a home, submission is an acknowledgement that a car can't have two steering wheels. It's that simple. There has to be leaders and those who are led. There has to be rulers and those who are ruled. And civil government and rule is a blessing from God. It's not a necessary evil. Government is the means God uses to govern his world. And what if we don't submit? Well, Paul warns of the consequences. If I rebel, I am opposing God. I am making war against God, and I should expect to be punished, to bring down judgment on myself. But it is meant for good. We all know the verse in Ephesians 6 about children, obey your parents, for this is right. As the commandment says, honor your father and mother. And Paul makes this a little aside there. He said, this is the first commandment with a promise. And the promise is that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. And that promise extends to all of us with regard to any kind of authority. What happens when children rebel against parents? It causes chaos. It doesn't go very well for everybody. And what happens when church members rebel against their leaders? Chaos ensues, and you get church divisions and church splits. And what happens when citizens rebel against authority? You get chaos. You get mob violence. You get a divided country. It doesn't go very well. So our basic demeanor, our default setting toward those in authority should be submission and honor. This is where we start. And it's what we do until there is a clear biblical reason to do otherwise. Now, Paul goes on here to say that there's additional blessing and purpose that comes from government to promote and praise what is good and to punish and prohibit what is evil. And of course, I mean, this is obvious and we are living it here in our own country. Don't we want to live in peace and without fear? Well, the path to living in peace is to live quietly, do what is right, do good, and then the rulers will be no threat. God gives the authority to us for the common good, to reward good and to punish evil. Paul and also Peter in his own letter, writing the very same kinds of things, believe that governing authorities are necessary for keeping peace. God is a God of order, not of anarchy or chaos. So, we are called to submit to authority, even to that authority that is unbelieving or pagan, even when we think they're wrong. I mean, come on. That's what makes submission submission. If you think it's right, if you think it's good, if you like it, that's not really submission. Submission is when we don't agree. But which would you prefer? Would you prefer bad government or no government? Would you prefer a bad teacher or no teachers? Would you prefer a bad boss or no boss? We grumble and complain about our government, but we do so in the luxury of having relative peace and order and stability. I mean, there are countries with no governments, and their citizens live in horrible suffering. Think Afghanistan, Somalia, South Sudan, Haiti, pretty much controlled by gangs. Think Lord of the Flies. Sinful stability is far better than sinful anarchy. Without authority, without submission, our world would be misery and chaos. We wouldn't have jobs. Think about schools, the military, businesses, churches, families. It would be a mess. So Paul says, obey the government because it is morally right to do so, and it's morally wrong not to do so. This is what he means when he says, for the sake of conscience. That means because you know what is right, obey. And every time I speak of submission and authority and anything like this, you always have to say, you have to acknowledge what should be obvious, and that is that this is not an expression of value or worth, one or the other, superior or inferior. When we submit, it's not a statement about that, about who's better or more important. We submit to civil authority then because it's instituted by God, because it's for our good, because we will be punished if we don't, and because if we don't, our conscience will condemn us for breaking the higher moral law of God. Now, let me give you a bit of help in this. What helps us to submit to authority? What helps us to submit to authority, especially when we think it's wrong? We need to have a firm grasp on the sovereignty of God. When we think about tyrants or dictators or evil, terrible leaders, can we ever say that their authority isn't from God? How can we say that it isn't? Do you know God? Do you know? Can you give counsel to God? Do you know what God should do? Do you have the mind of God? Do you know His ways? You remember when Job questioned God what happened? God asked him about like 70 questions, and Job couldn't answer a single one. Do we know why God does what He does? Do we know why God raised up Pharaoh or Assyria or Babylon or the Roman Empire or Quirinius, governor of Syria? Well, we have a hint about why God did that, don't we? Sometimes we get a glimpse. Why did He raise up a Hitler or a Stalin? Do we know the purposes of God in history? Do we know what He has planned from before the foundations of the earth and how He is directing all things to a purposeful end? Do we know the judgments of God? Do we know what it means when it says that vengeance belongs to the Lord and that tyranny is a judgment from God on sinful people? Proverbs 21:1, the king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever He will. So it is an act of humility on our part and faith when we submit to those, especially those that we don't think are worthy of it. And what does God require of us to give to those in authority besides humble submission? Well, just as we are to outdo one another in showing each other honor, we are to show honor to all those that God has placed over us for the sake of ordering society. There's an interesting incident in Acts 23, and Paul has been brought before the authorities, and someone tells those around him to strike Paul, and Paul answers back, how dare you, and he calls him a name, and then he's rebuked, and he says, I did not know that he was the high priest, the person he spoke to. I did not know he was the high priest, for it is written, you shall not speak evil of a ruler of your people. He was quoting from Exodus 22:28. You shall not revile God, nor curse a ruler of your people. Paul acknowledged that what he had done was wrong, and that what he owed authority is honor. Our basic demeanor toward civil rulers should be honor. As Peter writes in 1 Peter 2, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. This says to me, Robert, you need to guard your lips about how you speak about those who are in authority. For out of the mouth, the heart speaks, and what's in our heart. Now, the part you've been waiting for, the exceptions. But know this, they are rare, and they prove the rule. This is the norm. This is normal. But if those in authority would command you to do what God forbids, or forbid what God commands, if the government orders you to sin or to compromise your loyalty to Jesus Christ, then you're not required to obey. Like Peter and John, when they said to the Jewish council, who told them to stop speaking, stop proclaiming the gospel, they said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Civil disobedience is required in such matters that concern the gospel and our loyalty to Jesus Christ. But remember that when Paul and John acted contrary to the governing authorities, they also submitted to the punishment for breaking the law. And they did so without complaint, without resistance. If the time comes to obey, it ought to be done humbly. Like Daniel with the king and his food, or with like Esther with King Ahasuerus, or like Peter and John before the council. When it is time to do that, we need to be reminded, what are the weapons of the church of Jesus Christ? What are the weapons? Swords? No. Jesus rebuked Peter for that. Guns? No. Violence? No. The weapons of the church are the Word of God and prayer and gospel preaching and worship. Okay, are you ready to surrender? It's a hard passage. I absolutely feel it. But let's be honest, for most of us, most of the time, living here in Linden, Washington, our resistance or our opposition really has nothing to do with tyranny or oppression or the godless usurping of authority. It really has to do with our own willful, selfish desires. I don't like being told what to do. I am, at the heart, a rebel. I have a rebellious heart. And every now and then it leaks out. Like at the airport with TSA. It just annoys me to no end, having to do all those stuff we have to do. But they're an authority. And whether I like it or not, or whether I like what they say or not, I need to submit. And you'd think I'd be over it by now, but I still get a little annoyed going into certain medical or health facilities and being required to wear a mask. It's no big deal. It's just a mask. But for some reason, I just don't like being told to do that. But they're an authority. And what that mask is really doing is exposing my rebellious heart. We won't even talk about speed limits. We're not going to go there. Rebellious hearts. We are rebels at heart. If this text makes us angry, that says that our hearts have some rebellion in them and we need to repent. If we find ourselves having some reluctance or resistance to obeying, there's that rebellion. If we feel the urge to do the opposite of whatever we've been told or asked to do, well, there it is again. If we think it's better to ask forgiveness than to ask permission, a little rebellion going on there. if rules are meant to be broken. I mean, am I right? Or they don't apply to me. More rebellion. We live in a rebellious generation. A people who feel it's their right to sit in judgment on those who are in authority over them. Today's music, I don't listen to it, but I'm aware that what the young people are listening to today, there is a lot of just in-your-face rebellion. And Christians are no exception. The point of this passage is to humble us under the Word of God and under His grace so that it might go well with us. And that we would honor God by honoring His instruments. Scripture tells us to do two things toward our government. To submit to them and to pray for them. And brothers and sisters, this is our opportunity in this day, now. This is our opportunity to bear witness to the sovereignty of God and to live such exceptional lives among this culture as to be salt and light. To show a rebellious generation a better way. And so I urge us, I call us, I challenge us to be this kind of salt and light, to be submissive to God-ordained authority as an expression of your faith in Jesus Christ and as an expression of your trust in God to protect us and to bless us that it might go well with us. Amen. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, would you do that new and transforming work, removing pride and rebellion and resistance, and filling us, Lord, with the grace that enables us to submit and to honor others above ourselves, to make allowances for others, to overlook offenses, and to increase, Lord, with a greater love for you and each other, that we might prove to this onlooking world that indeed we are your disciples. Hear and answer and help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.